Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dadi Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Bonachari Jamuna Tira Bonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Brivajakacharya Stathara Satashi Shimad Shila Esi Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Shilahardas Thakur Ki Prem Shikoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavandam Ki Shri Navadvip Mayapuram Ki Shri Gangamai Jmunamai Ki Bhakti Devi Talalsi Maharani Ki Shri Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Nittai Gaur Premanandi All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 3, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and the Others. Text 33. Sa itam granata putran. Puro drishtva prajapatin. Prajapti patis tanvan. Thank you. Tayaja vrinditista tada. Sorry, I don't have my glasses. Tam disho jagrahur guram nitaram yad vidistamaha. Saitaham grinata putran. Puro drishtva prajapatin. Prajapati patistanvam. Tata yaja vriditas tata tata. Tam disho grihur goram. Niharam yad vidis tamaha. Saitam granata putran. Puro drishtva prajapatin. Prajapati patistanvam. Tatyaja vijastada. Tamstat garam. Nidaram jatistamaha. Saitam grinata putran. Puro dvisva prajapatin. Prajapati patistanvam. Tatyaja vrihitas tada. Tam michor goram. Niharam yad vidus tamaha. Okay, sa hi brahma. Itam thus grinata speaking putran sons puraha before drishtva seeing prajapatin all the progenitors of living entities. Prajapati Pati, the father of all of them, Brahma. Tanvam, body. Tatyaja, quit. Vridita, ashamed. Tada, at that time. Tam, that body. Dishaha, all directions. Jagruhu, accepted. Goram, blamable. Niharam, fog. Yat, which. Vidu, they know as. Tama, darkness. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The father of all Prajapatis, Brahma, thus seeing all his Prajapati sons speaking in that way, became very much ashamed and at once gave up the body he had accepted. Later that body appeared in all directions as a dangerous fog in darkness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The best way to compensate for one's sinful acts is to give up one's body at once. And Brahma, the leader of the living entities, showed this by his personal example. Brahma has a fabulous duration of life, but he was obliged to give up that body due to his grievous sin, even though he had merely contemplated it in his mind without having actually done it. This is a lesson for the living entities, showing how sinful an act is to be in, to indulge in unrestricted sex life. Even to think of abominable sex life is sinful. And to compensate for such sinful acts, one has to give up his body. In other words, one's duration of life, blessings, opulence, etc., are decreased by sinful acts, and the most dangerous type of sinful act is unrestricted sex. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, or sinful life is the cause of gross ignorance. The feature of ignorance is darkness or fog. Darkness or fog still covers the whole universe, and the sun is the only counteracting principle. One who takes shelter of the Lord, the perpetual light, has no fear of being annihilated in the darkness of fog or ignorance. Jai. Omagyana tirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshumi tamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this darkness of fog is, I don't know how many have experienced, sometimes it's so bad. I know in England it can get so dark that you can't even see even like this close to yourself. One time I was riding a bike and on the road, and suddenly there was a person in front of me, like I didn't even see them. It was so foggy. I guess that's why the London fog, it's renowned. So this fog can be so dense with darkness. And the only thing, Srila Prabhupada says here, is the sun that comes out. And it reminded me of Haridas Thakur when he was being invited to commit some indecent action by Maya Devi. Because of his Krishna consciousness, he kept telling her, I will satisfy you at the end of the evening. But never did that happen. He said, I haven't finished my japa yet. So this Krishna consciousness saves us from so many problems. And another thing I was thinking was Jagai and Madai. Last night we were reading in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and somehow Krishna gave me the verse, all the different sinful activities Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that Jagai and Madai had performed. And some of them I'd never even heard of. It was quite amazing. But you felt so like dirty even just reading them. It was so abominable. But in the end, Lord Nityananda saved them and Lord Chaitanya. So I think that is the shelter that we can go for in this age, is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They came to actually save us from ourselves, because so many sinful things are everywhere. And it's said that Jagai and Madai, you know, like Madai threw the pot at Lord Nityananda. They were just coming to ask them to please chant Krishna's name. And yet they became so angry and agitated because of their drinking wine that Madai threw a pot at Lord Nityananda and it broke and blood was flowing from his wound. And when Lord Chaitanya came and saw, he immediately called his chakra to come, and he was going to kill him immediately. How dare you hurt my Nityananda? And Jagai saw this and immediately took shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. But Madai was just looking and watching. He was so drunk. And then Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai. But Madai, he didn't even look at. So then Madai said, why am I not getting the same treatment? So then he immediately offered his obeisances. Lord Chaitanya said, you have to get forgiveness from Lord Nityananda. So he went and offered his obeisances to Lord Nityananda, who then immediately embraced him and said, okay, now chant Hare Krishna. And so then they were delivered. And it said that because of the delivering those two, everyone understood who Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda was after that, because no one could even go near. It's said that anyone who'd come near them, they would try to kill. And they killed so many brahmanas, so many cows, they ate meat, drank wine. They did everything against the principles of religion. And all the villagers were scared of them. They came from good, respectable families as well. It wasn't like they were born in corrupt families. But they came from respectable brahmana families in Navadvip. And yet, because of a bad association, they became just the worst. And when Haridas and Lord Nityananda was going around to get the villagers on the order of Lord Chaitanya to chant Hare Krishna, all the villagers said, "Don't go near them, don't go near them, they'll kill you." But Lord Nityananda said, "No, on the advice of Lord Chaitanya, we must save even the most fallen. So these two must be the most fallen." And so they went, and of course that's when they came, Madai and Jagai came after them to kill them. And there was a very funny pastime during that, that Haridas Thakur was joking with Lord Nityananda saying, "Look, because you're such a crazy avadut, now you've gotten us into this situation. I was just beaten in so many marketplaces and I survived. But now, going out preaching with you, I may not survive the rest of the day." And so that was kind of funny. They were laughing and running. And then finally, Jagai and Madai gave up. They couldn't run any farther. And they were laying on the floor, rolling around. That's when they came back to then tell them again, "Please chant the names of Krishna." That's when Madai picked up the pot to throw at them. So in this way, Jagai and Madai were saved. So in this age, I think just like Brahma gave up that sinfulness, which was considered like the fog, so similarly, Jagai and Madai gave up their sinfulness. And it's said that Lord Chaitanya became black with all the sins from Jagai and Madai after he accepted them. And then after that, I thought it was very interesting. It said that Lord Chaitanya said that anybody who blasphemes the devotees accepts some of this sin. You know, it's considered the most sinful thing to blaspheme devotees. So that's the tongue. Bhaktivinoda says the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. So we have to be very careful not to do that. Because Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who blasphemes the devotees, I'll never accept. So we don't want to be in that category. Even all those sinful activities that Jagai and Madai had done, Lord Chaitanya accepted them. In fact, they then went... Lord Chaitanya said, "Now you should all accept them as my devotees, and they should take part in the kirtan." And so they took part in this wonderful kirtan after, and then they all went down to bathe in the Ganga. And that ghat is named, do you know that ghat in Mayapur? And it's, I think it's Jagai and Madai ghat. And they would go there, and they felt so bad about all the sinful things and all the offenses they'd done to the devotees there. They would go and serve the devotees when they would come to bathe in the Ganges. So that ghat is still to the Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Yeah. So that's how we can give up our bodies after sinful life, is by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. I think that's the only hope. And besides that, this is quite a difficult section of the Bhagavatam in some ways, although it's very instructive. because it shows that anyone can fall down from their positions, even Lord Brahma. But there's also hope in the end. Because reading through this, I was thinking, wow, so where's the hope? And then immediately I thought of Jogai. Sorry. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. There are only saving grace in this age. Any questions or comments?
The purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that even to think of sinful activities is abominable and sinful reaction, but I've also heard that in Kali Yuga we're not responsible for offenses in the mind.
Yes, I've heard that also. I don't know. Does anyone else know about that?
Maybe it's just because thought leads to action.
Yes. Actually, I thought of that in the Bhagavad Gita 2.62. It says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And then from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. So it's like a following on. So I think he was actually running after her. So he'd already gotten to the attachment situation.
Right. It said also in the purport that he hadn't performed the act, but he did chase after her. So
yes, he just thought about it. Yeah, it's a dangerous slippy slope, I think. The slippery slope of attachment and to sinful life. Yeah. Anyone else?
I thought it was interesting in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, when one does engage in illicit sex, then they should give up their body. In other words, he says, one's duration of life, all those, the opulences of his life will be diminished.
Yes.
That's equivalent to giving up your present, basically your present condition, somewhat to a lower.
Yes, I thought this wasn't saying commit suicide, although we've had that happen with, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, yeah. But, you know, it wasn't recommended by Srila Prabhupada. But we can give up, like you said already, you're giving up your opulences by taking part in sinful activity. But also we can give up that sinful mentality and that sinful way of behaving. I think at initiation, you immediately give that up. You promise to give up the four regulative principles, follow the four regulative principles. So then you're giving up your old life, and you're accepting a new, you're getting a new name, you have a new life. So just like that, we can still give up our body without actually, you know, killing ourselves. But we should know that thinking about sinful things leads to sinful life.
We heard in the last few verses that Lord Brahma was not, after he was told by his sons to give up this mentality, he wasn't able to. But then I think yesterday's verse, they said they prayed to the Supreme Lord, that he should come to his senses. And this is next now the result. So it seems like the prayers of his sons were very effective in this regard.
Yes, and it was, I thought it quite instructive that the sons did not just immediately say, "You're such a sinful wretch," or, you know, they didn't come on like that. It was more like, "You're Lord Brahma. You're showing all of us how to behave. How can you, you know," like just like opening his eyes to what's going on. And then, yes, offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And then he came to that conclusion that I need to do this.
So it's a good example how the prayers of the devotees are so effective.
Yes, true. Because then it evokes the Lord's mercy upon one.
I'm so happy you kept reading and you found hope. And one point you said that after Jagga and Madai were embraced, then the instruction was to now chant Hare Krishna.
Yes.
That statement hit me really hard this morning. And I mean, obviously, we're all in the material world, so we've all been subjected and are still subjected to the illusory energy. So therefore, we have committed sin. In fact, sin, that word means to miss the mark, right? And the first sin is forgetfulness of Krishna, right? Then everything else trickles down or follows after that. And but getting back to like these personalities and praying for them, I just remember seeing once this clip where there's a village in Africa that whenever somebody does some abominable act, of course the whole village knows eventually. And what they do is they bring that person into an assembly and they glorify the qualities that they have seen in him prior to this showing up, right? So instead of focusing on what went wrong, they really try to encourage him to say, but I've seen you do this and you've offered this and you've assisted in this way and you've done, so please be, you know, continue showing those qualities, right? And so it's like for me, I think that would be the most humbling as opposed to the execution of that, what people want to give a personality. You know, if you could just really stick with them and see, you know, what they've offered and what they were capable and willingly, you know, to give at some point in time, I think that's a bigger punishment because it would definitely make you feel so humble that, yeah, what am I doing or what have I done, right?
In a way, that's what the Prajapatis were doing, wasn't it?
That's right.
You're such an amazing person. You're in this high post of Brahma. Everyone is following your way of behaving. Yes. I wanted to read this one part out of the Chaitanya Bhagavat about blasphemy. This was after Lord Chaitanya had turned black and they were in the kirtan. He said, "The two drunkards danced in the association of he whose body the goddess of fortune is afraid to touch. In this way, Lord Chaitanya delivered these two drunkards and sent the blasphemers of the Vaishnavas to the hell known as Kumbhipaka. Blasphemy does not enhance one's religious principles. It only results in sin. That is why fortunate souls do not engage in blasphemy." And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's commentary. "The devotees of the Lord do not blaspheme anyone in this world. One who blasphemes others is known as sinful or irreligious. To attribute to someone faults that are not present is called blasphemy. To attribute one to attribute on someone faults that are not present is called blasphemy. Being induced by irrelevant goals, those who are unable to tolerate the glorification of others and with a desire to attack them unfairly, attribute faults on them, continually meeting with inauspiciousness day and day, day after day. A person who out of envy attributes faults on an irreproachable Vaishnav must go to the hell known as Kumbhipaka and suffer severe miseries. Those sinful persons who cannot understand that sarva maguna gana Vaishnav sarire, all good qualities are present in the body of a Vaishnava, and who consider that non-Vaishnavas are equal to Vaishnavas, can never achieve any benefit. To criticize the behavior of non-devotees is called sad upadesh, or good instruction. Other than devotional service to Vishnu, all activities of the living entities are condemnable. Sinful people often engage in abominable activities on the pretext of devotional service to Vishnu. Instructions to give up these activities should not be called ninda or blasphemy. So in that way, we have to be very careful about blaspheming devotees. In fact, that's the first, the offenses against the holy name is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. That's right, the mad elephant offense. Actually, I saw this video of a mad elephant once. And they go into a little village, and all the people are running because this elephant is, and it starts ripping things up and grabbing people and throwing them. It was really shocking. And it was so scary. And, you know, all the kids and women are screaming and the men are screaming, and this elephant is just ripping apart everything. Ripping up trees and throwing them, ripping up people's homes, ripping up people. It was shocking. But so that offense is like that mad elephant. It just ruins our whole garden of devotion that we've created in ourselves. Yeah, dangerous.
In a purport where Srila Prabhupada is stating the 10 offenses, he says for that first one, the blasphemy, belittling, to belittle a devotee is an offense. When you think of that, it's even just the slightest. Even if we belittle them in our mind, you know, and then talk, someone is saying, and then we reinforce that or whatever. It's very, very dangerous.
Yes, very dangerous. Actually, didn't Srila Prabhupada give the example that one time of a friend of his, and they were talking that one of their friends had become a high court judge, and then someone else said, oh, but he probably doesn't get paid. He sits up there, but he's not getting paid. It's like belittling him, you know. So those things are just to make him look worse. So yeah, we have to be careful about that. And it's very easy to become very, you know everybody, and then you become
familiar.
Yeah. And then you can minimize others. But we're so fortunate to have such a wonderful association that Prabhupada has given us so many devotees association that uplift us instead of pull us down.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I missed class, but this was a good discussion. One thing that I learned from one of the Vaishnavas here, and I can't quote from where, is to have that servant mindset and to see more of the superior qualities in everybody and to remain humble in that aspect where your ego's not getting super puffed up and you're in that servant mood. It's how can I serve that person? How is that person even better than me, and you just find those good qualities in each other instead of figuring, you know, the envy or competing or, you know, trying to belittle people and creating anarthas and offenses in that way. So I thought that that was really beautiful to do that, and really humbling, and a reminder to be that way.
Yeah, because we have so many ways we can puff ourselves up thinking we're so much better than everyone else, but we're not at all. Maybe the opposite, far less.
Well, it used to actually be the remedy in Vrindavan was that if you were upset or angry or, you know, had some distaste for someone, we were asked to serve that person. And then when you're in the middle of actually devotional service with somebody, you do see that they are also surrendered, if not more surrendered than yourself, you know, and that they have this willingness to, you know, be a part of the movement, Prabhupada's family, and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Yeah. And so that's, if you, you know, if you really wanted to check in with yourself and you know if you have this, you know, feeling, then why not approach the person and say, you know, what service are you doing? Can I assist you in some way? You know, and just cut it right then before you just let it go on, you know, for, you know, so long.
Yeah, because it's something that can fester and get bigger and bigger, that starts off small but then can become very large. Yeah, good points. Thank you. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.